This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And free-falling up is a lot of fun, actually.
Requires a big spring.
Or a cannon.
Yeah, well, the spring is a lot easier on the ears.
Yeah, true. Anyway, joining us is Ray Haas of the High Flight and John McGee. That's all.
Well,
that's the only notes I have this morning.
He's got a book here.
He does have a book, Touching the Face of God, and everybody's heard that poem.
High Flight.
And it's just an amazing insight from a young aviator, right? Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It turns out it's an amazing story about this young man. High Flight, him writing High Flight was a part of his story, but I did 24 years worth of research and really uncovered an amazing story about an amazing individual.
A lot of us were amazing back then. I guess we had to be.
We're not amazing now, that's for sure.
We're amusing, though. It's close.
John McGee never lived to see the fame that High Flight has garnered over the years. He was killed, a couple days after he wrote it?
Well, he, according to the letter to his parents that had High Flight in it, he started it at 30,000 feet and finished it shortly after he got on the ground. Looking at his logbook, he took a flight up to 33,000 feet in a Spitfire Mark I, which is quite a feat.
Yeah.
So we knew that was the day that he was inspired to write High Flight. So that was August 18th, 1941. He died after a mid-air collision on December 11th. 1941, so it was a few months later. Just what happened, that was the day that the United States declared war on Germany, and so he was one of the first official American casualties of World War II.
A mid-air collision with a friendly or a foe?
It was a friendly. Unfortunately, they were returning from a wing. Their squadron had gone up above the clouds, and those days they did not have ATC to get them down through the clouds, so there's two ways to come down. One is gently through the clouds, lying astern, following each other, or find a hole. I've never looked for a hole or found a hole to go down through, but to get through the clouds, but it's been known to happen, apparently. So they came down. These are in Spitfires, and they're doing about 350 miles an hour coming down through this hole, four of them. And there was a twin-engine bomber trainer in the pattern at RAF Cranwell. And McGee was number three. The first two missed, and McGee smashed right into them.
Oops.
Ooh. Yeah. Now, I always thought that John McGee was a British pilot. He was an American?
Well, that's the story. He was there's lots of stories, which just gave me the impetus to research the story. He was born in China, American father, British mother. He lived in China until he was 9 years old, and then went to England, was educated in England at rugby school, came to the United States for just the summer, and couldn't return back to England because war had broken out and neutrality laws and so on. They wouldn't give him a visa to return. So he went to Avon Old Farm School here in the United States for a year, graduated with honors, was accepted into Yale with a full scholarship, but really wanted to return to England. So he found a way through the Royal Canadian Air Force, which they were such a demand for pilots that they were taking anybody. Warm-blooded, you know.
Yeah, warm bodies, all they need.
Here, hold this stick. You're hired.
Pretty much. And then, you know, they killed like 16,000 of these kids just in training. So he managed to return to England. So he, flew Spitfires. So he was born in China, educated in England, came to the United States, went to Canada to go back to England and fight Germans over France.
Circuitous career.
So he was. He was actually an American citizen through his father, but went into the Royal Canadian Air Force and then on to England.
Rather wow. Roundabout way of getting back to England, that's for sure.
He was one committed fellow. I can
say
that.
He was determined for sure.
How many missions did he fly?
Not very many. He had one major combat action on November 5th. They had these circus operations, which they take just maybe a handful of bombers and fly them over Germany and bring the Luftwaffe up and try to engage them. But unfortunately, on his first and really only major combat action, the Germans that responded was JG-26, the Abbeville boys, with Adolf Gland in there. He was actually, you know, and three out of three people out of his flight of four were shot down, including the squadron leader. McGee actually saw that. And I actually have the post-action combat report that showed what John McGee did. And he turned into a natural pilot, and actually a natural fighter pilot. It was pretty amazing. So, but really only one major combat action.
That's amazing. You know, I figured that he would have been more into the action and everything. Well, there's a lot I don't know about John McGee. Except
in fact, what you don't know fills a book.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to think that actually he started flying in January of 1941 and died on December 11th. His entire military career and flying aviation career took place within the span of 1 year.
Wow.
He was 19 years old when he died.
Yeah, he was very young.
Yeah, but very, very apparently a very deep person and very insightful.
Well, it turns out that he was a remarkable young man, very intelligent, very bright. After his death, of course, the United States entered into World War II. His poem was shown on an exhibition at the Library of Congress. The poem went viral. His story went viral all across the United States. And so he actually did become quite famous. The Royal Canadian Air Force received several thousand requests for high flight after that. I went to the National Archives, and they have a folder of all the requests they got. It's
oh my goodness.
Really amazing. So and it's still 70 last year. It was 75 years this year, 76 years since it was written, and it's still as relevant and popular today as it was when it was written. And it continues alive. It's still required reading at the U.S. Air Force Academy. It's still in use, very much so today.
I wonder why they use it as required reading.
I don't know. There's the handbook of cadet knowledge, and their cadets are required to know what's in that book, and high flight is one of the things in there.
I guess it's to make them appreciate flight.
I don't know. There's high flight has been kind of a thing at the Air Force Museum. John McGee's brother David flew with the Army Air Corps later on. So, but John McGee was an immense, really an interesting person, and it's such a story that actually last year we announced it at AirVenture, and Kim First, the producer and director of Flying the Feathered Edge, the Bob Hoover Project, has optioned the book to be made into a motion picture. So for the past year we've been working on a script. She's here, we're kind of meeting off and on. But we've been working on a script, and it's such an amazing story. Once you get into that, it's not a quick sell like John McGee, High Flight. Okay, well, most people, you know, think, well, he wrote a poem.
Right.
He was 19.
Yeah, right.
What kind of story can that be? Well, it turns out to be a rather amazing story.
That's interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing this movie when it gets done.
Me too. I'd like to, if somebody else came along and they asked me, well, what if somebody saw your book and made a movie? I said, okay, as long as I do a good job, I'm you right. know, okay, yeah. great. People ask me, when is it going to be done? I wish I knew.
Well, someday we'll see your name in credits.
One hopes so, yeah. But mostly is to bring this really amazing story showing that young people can do amazing things, and really the part of the greatest generation. He gave up a scholarship at Yale. He gave so much to do what he should do. So,
well, and yet if he were alive, he would have just said, there was a job that needed to be done.
He would. A friend of his asked why, because he gave up the scholarship. A friend of his in England, when he returned back, asked, well, why did you leave the United States? You could have ridden out the war. It's at Yale. And why'd you come back to this hell of war here in England? And John replied, I just felt that I ought to. He just felt that it was the right thing to do.
To do.
Sense of duty.
Yep, that was pretty strong back then.
Well, you know, Hollywood is always looking for a good backstory. I get the feeling this one has a very good backstory.
It really does. In the 75 years, there's never really been a good documentary. I've helped with the BBC with a couple very, couple minute ones, and there's never really been a comprehensive biography, a couple small ones for kids. But never the real story. That's because I started Oshkosh here in the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Britain in 1990. And, you know, 24 years later, it came out the book. I mean, I did the deep dive, went down the rabbit hole. Right. And
everybody thought you were nuts.
Especially my wife.
Yeah.
I start talking and I can talk and she gets this look. Oh, boy. There he goes again.
There we go. Yeah.
While you're sitting there talking away, she just fades away into the distance. And,
wait, what a role reversal. She's the one going, yeah, okay.
Yes, indeed.
Were there any major surprises while you were digging through his history?
Sure. There's so many little stories. He went to Avon Old Farm School here in Avon, Connecticut. One of his instructors was a guy named Paul Child. After that time, Paul Child joined the OSS and did some stuff. And along the way, he met a young lady from Pasadena. Her first name was Julia. And they got married, and that was Julia Child, the Julia Child.
Oh, wow.
So her husband, who was played by Stanley Tucci in the Julie and Julia movie, mm-hmm. was one of John McGee's mentors and instructors.
Wow.
It's all sorts of little stories
little
like
connections,
that.
Connections, yeah.
It's amazing. It really is.
That is neat.
It's a small world.
Who'd have thunk it?
It is.
So do you have a website?
I do, highflightproductions.com. It's not real well maintained. We're bringing up some websites and social media on the movie that's coming along. There is a website, highflightthemovie.com, but it's not. It's just a splash page right now. And so we're starting to crank up the social media and getting interest in it. We wanted to wait to the point where we could get the essence of the script done. I wrote the facts. Kim is a great writer. She's distilling the essence, the soul of the story. Where I have the facts, she's got the soul of the story. And it's an amazing thing. It brought tears to my eyes listening to what she's come up with so far.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Ray Haas, with the story of High Flight. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is YAA Radio.